Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
This morning, I want to talk about, picture this, can you hear it? And specifically, I want to talk to us about hearing the voice of God this morning. And I know that is, many of us, when we hear that, we're like, well, I'm out. God never talks to me. Wrong. And so as we talk about this morning, I just want us to get right to Scripture. So if you have your Bible this morning, and go to 1 Kings with your Bible. If you're like, I have a Bible, but I'm not sure where 1 Kings is at, go towards the front of it. If you see Psalms, keep going to the left. If you hit Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, keep going back to the right. Get to Judges, keep going. Get to Joshua, keep going. Get to, then you'll land on 1 Samuel here, there eventually, right after Judges. And then keep going a couple more, and you'll land on 1 Kings. And if you get to Revelations, you've gone way too far. All right? So, anyway, if you're not sure where it's at, just grab your neighbor's Bible, give him yours, and it's all good. And so, this is our text this morning, but before we dive into specifics, I just kind of want to get you the backstory of what's going on. It involves the prophet by the name of Elijah. He was a great man of God, pursued God, used by God in great ways. Israel is under a rulership of a godless king, and the king's wife wants Elijah dead. So it's the making of a great soap opera, right? And she tells him that after he had this great experience, this great victory at Mount Carmel back in chapter 18, that I want the guy dead, kill Elijah, I want him dead. And so there's this great victory of the Lord. Now, Elijah's fleeing, running for his life. There's high drama, high impact. It was the Mount Carmel showdown. You could get it on pay-per-view. It was incredible. And that really tells us something, though, does it? Just to pause real quick. That you can feel really powerful in one moment and not in the next. It tells us also that strong faith doesn't always preclude weak moments, and weak moments don't always preclude strong faith. Oftentimes, they're right next to each other. None of us live on a mountaintop continuously. We all wish we did, but we don't. And life has challenges, and life has battles, and how many experienced that even a little bit this week, right? And we will never get to the point where we arrived and life is easy peasy, where you don't need helmets and you don't need seat belts because they're not necessary anymore. That will not happen on this side of life. It's heaven, but not here. How many of you remember when you were growing up, like you did road trips, your family went on road trips, and your place in the car was the back ledge right below the window? You didn't even, you know, your seatbelt was mom's arm, right? So that life of just everything going smooth, and I don't know why we think that when we hit a little bit of resistance, I don't know why we freak out sometimes. Because that we ought to expect, we ought to know that stuff's not going to happen until we step into the presence of the living God forever in heaven. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 says this: when Ahab got home, he had told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way that he'd killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: may the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I've not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He had went to Beersheba, a town in Judea. So he went from the northernmost part of Israel clear to the southernmost part of Israel. Okay? And he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. It's interesting. He's run 20 miles now ahead of Ahab's chariot. He's called down fire. He's seen this incredible thing happen. He's had a lot of high adrenaline moments in his life in that span of time, in those days. And it's interesting to me, and we can all relate to this, after those moments, and you have those high adrenaline moments, what happens? You're tired, aren't you? And you find yourself even getting discouraged. Have you ever been there? And you wonder if God cares, and you feel alone. And in those moments, after coming off victories, perhaps one of the most spiritual things that you can do is sleep. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it before. You went to prayer before, and you fell asleep, didn't you? How many have ever done that? True confession. This is the house of the Lord, right? You've been there. You went to prayer, and you, some of you even come to prayer meetings. I've seen you sleep. I've heard you sleep, right? We've all been there. But listen, so I think there's a spiritual, you know, we don't want to do that every time we go to prayer. But there's a spiritual lesson. Even Jesus, after performing great miracles and ministering in powerful and big crowds and doing powerful things, would step away to a place of solitude for rest and for prayer. I think sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is to rest and to sleep. I mean, have you ever done it? We joke about it all the time. I've done it before. I've woken up, you know, to pray early in the morning. Dear God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. It's 5. I'm here. And you start praying, right? You're feeling good about yourself because you got up that early, and then you fall asleep. And then you wake up, and you're like, and you just pick up right where you left off. Have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand. You know, we don't. But anyway, I think sometimes God is just like, look, I want to give you a rest, so it's okay. Rest in my presence. Look, verse 5. All right, then he lay down and slept under the broom tree, but as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the Mount of God. That's the same mount that Moses had, and Moses received the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And you look at Moses' encounter there in Exodus 19 and Exodus 20, and it's an incredible encounter. It's a powerful encounter. I mean, God shows up in profound ways. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's smoke. It's the glory of God is there. And God spoke at Mount Carmel. And Elijah is thinking, I need to hear from the God of Israel. And in verse 9, there he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. Listen to what he's saying. I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. A lot of that statement's not true, but that's how he felt. But you know how many know? When you're tired and when you are worn out, guess what you lose? You lose perspective. Don't you? And Elijah has lost it. He's talking to God and he's hearing from God, but he doesn't have the perspective that he needs to have. Verse 11, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And the Lord told him, as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. I mean, this is like tornadic wind. This is like Dorothy, you're not coming home type of windstorm, right? This is a big deal. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. I mean, fearsome displays of power, but God isn't in that. And this fire comes down, God's not in that. But remember, what it was like when God met with the children of Israel on Mount Carmel. If you want to flip over there, you can find it in the next chapter, Exodus chapter 19. There's this rumbling and there's this lightning. We won't take time to go there. I just kind of want to just, you know, there's all these great things happening, powerful things happening, and you're just like, man, I would love to see that. And it's almost like Elijah is having a part two to that Exodus 19 encounter. But in Exodus 19, there's 2 million Israelites there, scholars estimate, that hear the voice of God. And you know what their response is? Their response is fear. You say, oh man, that wouldn't happen to me. I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. God's here. Oh, I finally hear the audible voice of God. I wouldn't have been scared. Baloney. That's an overwhelming thought. Their response to Moses after that happened was, Moses, never let that happen again, because if it does, we'll die. And God's response is, you know what? The people are right. And it's almost a recreation of Sinai with God when God spoke there for the first time. But this time, God's not in it. Look at verse 12. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? It's interesting, if you study and if you know anything about the human voice or the ear, the human voice can speak in a frequency, a range, a frequency from 85 hertz clear up to 25 hertz. 2,500 hertz is like Sandy Patty high. It's like break glass, hurt your ear, opera stuff, right? And so on the other hand, the human ear, though, can hear from 20 hertz all the way to 20,000 hertz. So anything below 20 hertz is called infrasonic. And you can't hear that sound with your ear because it's below the frequency of what your ear can hear, but it's still sound, isn't it? With infrasonic sound, it has an effect. It can cause headaches. I mean, you get really close to infrasonic sound when you're at the stoplight and you hear that car a block away, and you're like, oh, my head. How many are you like, my head hurts at that bass? That's not infrasonic sound. Infrasonic is even lower than that. It's used to predict volcanic eruptions. They can use it to predict earthquakes and measure earthquakes. Anything above 2,500 hertz is called ultrasonic sound. Those sound waves crush kidney stones. They put you in the little hot tub or pool. They probably don't call it a hot tub, but make it sound good while you're in pain. Hey, get in the hot tub. We're going to crush those kidney stones, right? It can help you see the unborn baby in a mother's womb. I mean, you know, Amy's over here and expecting. They thought they were expecting one, went and got the ultrasound. Oh, sorry, there's two, right? It can, it's used, it's supposedly used. We had a dog once in Topeka. His name was Bronco. That's the best thing about the dog was his name. The dog would not literally, the dog like barked all the time. It drove me nuts. I was like, oh, my neighbors are going to hate me. And so we went and got the egg. And the egg, every time a dog barked, it was supposed to release this ultrasonic sound that, you know, would get the dog's attention and he would quit barking. Well, we put it out there, turned it up like as high as we could turn it the first time. Bronco barked, like looked around, and then just kept going. You know, it was like, hey. But it can be used, ultrasonic sound can be used to heal damaged tissue. It can be used to topple buildings. And the reason why I say those things is God speaks in a variety of ways. Can God speak audibly? Absolutely. I know people who have family members that have heard the audible voice of God, and they're not, and it's like legit, they're not like those people that you're like, yeah, bless you, I'm sure you did, yeah. Sometimes God speaks audibly, but the ways in which he speaks is often like ultrasonic or infrasonic sound. In other words, that means that he speaks in a different frequency. Sometimes it's audibly, but other times it's in a frequency that's not audible to the human ear. But he is speaking just the same, isn't he? And the frequency is on a spiritual level. Like, Steve, like what? Give me some examples of how God does that. God does it with dreams. God will speak to us in dreams. And he's done it. He's used dreams a number of times, and I've shared some of them in Robin's life, where God has given her a dream involving our boys, and Robin goes to the boys, and they're like, uh-huh, that's true. I will never lie to you, Mom, because God talks to you. Right? And it wasn't that they were doing something bad, but God speaks in dreams. You know, I had a dream the other night that Robin was standing behind me just rubbing my shoulders, and I believe it was from the Lord. I'm just kidding. But God uses dreams, all right? He uses words of exhortation. Let me give you an example that is really recent. Last Sunday in service, during worship time, actually it was right before communion, God prompted a word, brought something back to Gene's mind. Gene came and talked to me and said, hey, I feel this, and this is kind of what it is. It's about this. I'm up on a hill, and I'm with the Lord. I'm looking over the city, and God, you know, Jesus started stepping towards the city because there's a ton of people there, and I was just standing there, and all of a sudden he came back to me, and I was just like overwhelmed, and I'm paraphrasing this, but I'm overwhelmed because Jesus has time for me. And he was saying to me, yes, there's a lot of need there, but I want you to know that you're just as important to me. And I tried to wrap that up or, you know, put that into our communion time. And then after service, another individual came up to me and said, hey, I felt like the Lord had given me something to share, and I wasn't sure where to share it, and so I wanted to come to you and just talk to you about the winds of doing something like that. And this is what it was. And it was more or less, I see you, I'm walking with you, you're not walking alone where you're at. And it went in tandem with what Gene was sharing. So the Lord speaks in that way. And let me just say this. Don't be, when in a service setting or someone comes to you and I feel like, hey, I feel like the Lord is asking me to share this to you. I would encourage you, don't let the first thing that you do when someone would come to you, because we've all been in situations where maybe someone came to you and you're just like, yeah, thank you. There's a hospital down the road, you know, or something like that. Don't let the first thing you do is to put up a wall. Test it, yes, but don't resist it immediately, because oftentimes that's the first thing we'll do. But allow the Lord to use that. Weigh it against Scripture. If it lines up with Scripture, then filter it some more and bring it into your life. Okay, going on. Maybe there'd be an open door of opportunity. And I could share a recent situation. Robin just she worked at the district office, the school district office here, and was not to use Robin for all these illustrations. I'm sorry, but she had an opportunity a while ago to. She was offered a job, and she was like, no, I don't feel like I should take it, and was just like, man, I just, you know, wish I would have, that was such a cool thing, opportunity, blah, 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 and then it was just like something she'd been praying about, and then that door opened up again, and in that matter of that week, I had been praying, and we'd been just dialoguing, and all of a sudden, it just pops up again, and so just these opportunities that the Lord would put before us. Look, super ultrasonic pain. Sometimes God uses pain to speak into our life. C.S. Lewis said it best. God shouts to us in our pain and whispers to us in our pleasures. He'll use promptings in our life. Sometimes it's just, you know that you know that you know. As our daughter-in-law would say, your knower knows. Whatever, I'm like, Taylor, what's a knower? But your knower knows, you just know. Sometimes the frequency is another person. Someone comes to you and begins to speak into your life, and they don't know what you've been praying about. They don't know what you've been wrestling about. They don't know what you've been laying before the Lord, and all of a sudden they come to you and they speak to you, and it speaks hand in glove into what that situation is. It's a frequency. God has all kinds of frequencies, and we can all have the tendency to think, if God has something to say to me, then he's going to say it loud, and he's going to say it big, or he should at least speak up so that I can hear him, right? I mean, God, is it really that hard for you? And that's not necessarily true. It's nice when it's loud, and it's nice when it's clean and evident, but sometimes God whispers. And besides, here's the real deal. You want to hit, the rubber hits the road with this. The real deal is that even if God made it loud and clear, doesn't mean that you'd do it. Doesn't mean that I would do it. I mean, think about it. Jesus walked the dust of the roads of Jerusalem and performed incredible miracles. People saw it, and all of them followed. Sometimes people say, well, man, if God just did this incredible miracle, then I would follow him. Or I don't follow Jesus because I prayed for my aunt, and my aunt wasn't healed. And so God's not real. Well, even if he would have healed her, doesn't mean that you would follow him. Right? That is what you see going on in Elijah with Elijah in 1 Kings. Let me go back to it. Verse 11, chapter 19. I go out and stand before me on the mountain, and the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When the Lord heard it, he wrapped his face. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Don't miss something really important. Elijah had to go out there twice, didn't he? Verse 11, go out and stand before me on the mountain. There was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said, "What are you doing here? What happened there? If there are tornadic winds, what are you going to do?" I know some of us are like, you know, the sirens go off and what do? We walk outside. Where are they at? Right? But I mean, if it's like coming close, you're in the cave. He has to go out again. And sometimes we ask God to speak to us, and we don't hear anything from the Lord. So we think, God doesn't have anything to say to me. He doesn't have anything to say to us. For some here today, God is saying, I want you to get back out to where you can hear me. I want you to go out again. I want you to step out. I can imagine Elijah. It had been a little bit scary thus far. I mean, mighty winds, earthquake, fire. And he's thinking, I don't want to go out there. But you know what? You learn. Sometimes you have to put yourself out there, don't you? Maybe you feel you put yourself out there before with the Lord. You were waiting for God to speak. You stepped out there. You were waiting for him, and he didn't speak to you, at least not the way that you wanted him to speak to you. And Elijah, check this out. He goes to Sinai because he's expecting a Sinai experience. And what God does is, in a way, he obliges him. He gives him all the physical aspects of Sinai, the wind, the noise, all the awe of it, but there is not the spiritual aspect of it. And when it comes to hearing the voice of God, this is where we have to be careful. God delights in showing his ways to us. Believe that? And we can have encounters with him that are times, incredible encounters, that at times God uses those. Big events, big moments we can have. But if we're not careful, we begin to use those encounters that we had as the gold standard of how God is going to speak to me. If God is really speaking or moving in that place, then it's going to look like this, 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 and this, because that's how God has done it for me in the past. Why is that dangerous? It's dangerous because people can begin to rely on the feel of an environment. And if they don't feel it, then I don't think God's there. Right? They step into a church, maybe they're visiting and they're looking for that feel. Or they visit a church, they grew up Assemblies of God, and they go to, you know, a conservative Baptist church that's way out in the country, and they step in there and they go, God's not here. They don't do it like I'm used to it being done. And we base it all on a feeling. How many know that's a big mistake? Or they think if the earth is shaking and the wind is blowing and there's fire, that's how it's supposed to be. But notice, God was not, he was not in any of those things. And that's why we have to tune our ear to really hear what God is saying. And that we don't put him in a box that says, God, if God's going to speak, it's going to look like this. This is how I picture God speaking, so this is how it has to look. There have been times where maybe you put a fleece out or you fasted or a friend spoke to you and it was a powerful moment and God met you there. And so you decided to do it again and nothing's happening. I want to encourage you that God wants to stretch you and grow you so that you hear another frequency. It isn't that God doesn't want to speak to you or isn't speaking to you. Oftentimes, it's that I'm not listening with the right frequency. When you look at God speaking to Elijah, it's interesting. The NIV translation and the New Living Translation of Scripture puts it this way. They describe it this way, as a gentle whisper. The NSV puts it as a low whisper. You could translate it this way, a still small voice. And literally in the Hebrew, which is the language of the Scripture, it's a tiny silent sound. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron? How do you have a tiny silent sound? We just talked about silent sound, ultrasound, infrasonic sound. You can have sound waves you can't hear, waves that topple a building. Sound waves you can't hear can sense an earthquake. And here's this tiny sound, the New Living says a whisper. A definition of a whisper is to speak very softly, using one's breath without one's vocal cords, especially for the sake of privacy. I believe God wants to whisper to you. For some of us, God is shouting at you right now. Others, God is going to dial in the frequency and speak to you through another person. What's true about a whisper, though? If you don't listen close, you won't hear it. Right? As we wrap this up, let me just give you some closing observations about whispers. First one is this: God's whisper is powerful. Don't mistake the absence of volume for the absence of power. If a whisper is just using one's breath, okay, think about, track with me. If a whisper is just using one's breath without one's vocal cords, what's the greatest example of the power of a breath? You know what I think? Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. God breathed. God's breath can breathe, bring dead things to life. God's breath, God's whisper, can bring life to a dream that's been lost, can bring strength to someone who has grown weary. God's whisper is a powerful thing. Secondly, sometimes God whispers to get our attention. I mean, how many know, sometimes when someone listens to you, what do you have to do? You have to lean in, don't you? You have to get close. Now, Bart and Jean here, they've been married for a while. Jean, would you just whisper something to Bart? Just, did y'all get that? Do it again. Keep it PG, but do it again. She said she's taking us all out for dinner today. I'm just kidding. That's not what I couldn't, even though I was leaning in, I still couldn't pick it up. Sometimes, though, when you watch somebody whisper to someone, it's clear what they say. I love you. You're very special to me. Man, I love spending my life with you. Thank you for how you make me feel. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for giving yourself to our family. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you, you know, whatever it may be. I believe in you. Whatever the whisper is, you have to lean in. I mean, sometimes Robin will whisper to me across the room. I'm like, what? Just ruins the moment, right? The purpose of a fast, the why we're doing the Daniel fast is not so that you can lose your holiday pounds. That's a benefit, right? But that's not why. The purpose of a prayer meeting, the purpose of your prayer time, the purpose of reading the Word of God is to get close enough to hear God's whisper. So you can feel His breath, even if you don't hear His voice. Get close. Number three, few forms of communication are more intimate and personal than a whisper. Right? I mean, in our society, there are space parameters. We call them bubbles. Right? How many of you are protective of your bubble? You know, people step into your bubble and you're just like, and they get a little bit closer and you're just like thinking in your mind, don't you get the hint that I don't like people in my bubble, you know, and they put you up against the wall and you're just like, oh, I know karate, right? I mean, I like Elliot. Elliot's a good guy right down here. But I'm not going to start whispering in Elliot's ear. And I can tell you one thing, I'm not going to let Elliot whisper in my ear. You know, unless he won the lottery and wants to give me the ticket. I'm just kidding. The better you know someone, the less effort it takes, though, doesn't it? I mean, think me and my wife. We can communicate. Sometimes it's just a look. And I know what she's thinking. You know, sometimes it's just a whisper. It's body language, and you're like, okay. That can happen, listen, that can happen with our relationship with the Lord. That can happen with your relationship with the Lord. That much intimacy. Number four, God's whisper is heard with the heart. The ear doesn't hear infra or ultrasound, but there is those elements of sound nonetheless. And sometimes your ear, your physical ear, your auditory system isn't able to pick up the sound, but Lord, there's something going on in here. And you know that the Lord is speaking to you. For some here this morning, you're here, you've never been here before, you've never been in a church service before, but there's something going on in your heart, and you're going, there is life here, there's something here that I've never experienced before. And let me just tell you that it's not an emotional feeling, it's the Lord speaking to you, saying, come close. Number five, you will miss God's whisper if you're constantly surrounded by noise. John Donne, who was an English poet, said this, I neglect God and his angels for the noise of a fly. You know how it works. You try to get alone with God and suddenly you're distracted by every little thing. The phone dings. Someone's Facebook thing goes across your screen. If you use a device like that, the laundry is crawling out of the closet, waving at you. All these distractions, right? Distractions minimizes prayer and it empties it of its power. And that is why it's important to have a place where you can dial in. If the worship team would come, as we wrap this up this morning. That's part of the reasons why during worship, we don't do it all the time, but a lot of times we cut the lights. Because the north side people don't need to worry about what the south side folks are doing, if you know what I'm saying. And it just helps to focus in because you're not as distracted by what's going on around you. And that's what fasting does. Fasting has a way of sensitizing our hearing and our hearts, and it quiets our heart. And that's why a season like this is so, so important for you as an individual and for us as a church. I mean, here's the good news, all right? Are you ready? We're on the downhill side of the fast. Today is day 12. At the end of today, it's day 12. It's all single digits from here on out. There'll be 9 days left. But in the window that we have remaining, can I encourage you? Maybe it would be good for you to take an evening, or if you could take a day even, but to take an evening and just have an evening of silence where there is zero distractions. Maybe you're like, Pastor Steve, you've never been in my house before, have you? That is like, that would be a bigger miracle if I could pull that off in my house in Mount Sinai. Right? So maybe it's you going out, jumping in the car, driving out northeast of town or northwest of town to some country road and parking out there and just sitting in your car or in the back of your truck. If you have a truck or somewhere, it's supposed to be really balmy the next couple days and really warm, right? Where you just get a lawn chair and just sit out there or whatever, but go somewhere and just revel in the silence. Just breathe it in. Just enjoy it. And sensitize your heart. So there's no distractions. You know, silence isn't passive praying. It's active listening. As we wrap this up, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony in C minor. For you that are music folks, you know what I'm talking. It's the classic one, right? It's the da 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 da. Right? It starts off really big, but in all reality, did you know that it starts with an eighth rest at the beginning of that symphony? Why is that? It quiets the ears so that the people can better hear the symphony. And so, as you have moments, as you catch moments, even today, even tomorrow, catch those quiet moments and whisper and hear the whisper of the Lord. There's something about quieting ourselves so you can hear Him. And the Lord wants to speak to you. And I look forward to hearing testimonies of that and seeing pictures of what the Lord speaks to you. Would you stand with me? Father God, this morning as we bring our time together to a close, I know You've spoken to some hearts here already this morning about things going on in their life. Lord, I know that anyone here that hasn't been in relationship with You, has been living for themselves, You've spoken to them because Your Holy Spirit longs for all to come to repentance, for all to enter into relationship with Jesus. And if you're here this morning, as I kind of talked a little bit ago about, man, I'm here and I there's something going on in my heart, and there's this pull going on, and I sense something. Well, that's the Spirit of God knocking on the door of your heart, if you will, saying, hey, I want to come in, and I want to have relationship with You, I want to talk with You and You with me, and I want You not to do life alone, but I want You to do it with me, and then, trust me, I can help You. I created all of this, and I've given My Son so that You can be in right relationship with Me, and You can have eternal life through Him and Him alone. And you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but you're like, you know what? I want to live my life for a grander purpose than myself. And I want to walk in the freedom from sin, and I want to walk in relationship with Jesus. And I want to do that today. This feeling, this thing that I have going on in my heart, I want to respond to it and give myself to the Lord. If you're here this morning and that's you, would you just slip up your hand? The cool thing with coming to the Lord is that you come as you are. You don't try to clean yourself up and then come. You just, Lord, here I am. Here's my suitcase. Here's my junk. Here's my life, the good and the bad. I give it to You. Anyone at all would say, Lord, that's me. God, You know us. You called us, and You're calling us. I pray for every one of us in this place, Lord, that we would hear You call, that we would respond to the call, that we would draw near to You. Maybe you're here this morning, and as we head into this last song, your heart's grown hard towards God. It's hard to hear His voice because of where you have placed yourself. You've maybe turned your ear from Him, but you realize you need to lean into Him. And as we sing this song, I just encourage you to take a step and to, maybe it's intentionally coming to the altar and Lord, I've walked away from You. This morning I want to walk to You and just spend some time soaking in Your presence. And I think for all of us, the rest of us, we would just say, you know what? I want to enjoy the presence of God and how He speaks to me in whatever way that may be. I'm okay with it. But I just want a sensitive heart. I want to recognize His presence. And so, Lord, may I incline my ear to You. Remove the barriers from my life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Have Your way.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.